In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Luke, the 14th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's easy to forget how different, how foreign, how strange Jesus' way of thinking and acting is. It's easy in our day and age to put ourselves and our spin on Jesus, to domesticate him, to declaw him, to basically believe that he is like us. He means the sort of things we would mean in any given situation. He says and does the sort of things we would say and expect people to do or say. It's easy to forget how foreign Jesus' way of thinking is to us. People do this all the time when they say, well, my God would never say that. My God would never mean that. My God would never act in such a way. So foreign to us, thought and word and deed. Take, for example, our gospel reading for tomorrow. Can you imagine someone coming in to a large crowd and saying what Jesus says? Unless you hate your father, your mother, your children, your sister and brothers, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you bear your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you renounce all that you have and hold dear to you in this life, everything that makes up your life and everything that you love and cling to in this life, you cannot be my disciple. Today, let's not offer a weird twist on Jesus' words, shall we? No weird interpretation. Let's not domesticate our Lord. Let's just let him speak plainly and clearly, because the text is rather simple. Unless you hate, unless you bear your cross, unless you renounce everything, you cannot be my disciple. Who would say that? And who can really do that? Those things don't come naturally to you or to me. We don't want to give up everything that we love in this life. Certainly not the things we hold dear. Certainly not the things of this life that we love. Why would you do that? Why would you give stuff up? Everything that you love and hold dear. That's stupid in our estimation and opinion. But the reality is, you and I are going to give everything up. You got to realize that. You're going to renounce everything in your life. You want it simply? You and I are going to die. See, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when you are going to give everything up that you love. The question is, are you going to give it up as you're holding on to it now, clinging to everything, even in your dying breath, and finally, at the end of life, surrender everything, knowing that that's all it. You don't get to do any of that anymore. Everything that you love is now gone. Are you going to give it up on your deathbed, when you take your last breath? Or are you going to live already dead in Christ Jesus our Lord? See, that's the only two options that you have. Give it up in your own death, or give it up in Jesus's death. Those are the only two options. Jesus says this many different ways. It's the same thing over and over again. Will you give it up in death, your death, or will you give it up in Jesus's death? Will you live your life according to Christ or this world? Will you love your life in this world and so lose it, or will you hate your life in this world and so keep it for all eternity? Will you live your life in the reality that you have already died with Christ in baptism, or will you live for yourself? Will you hate your life in this world and keep it for eternity? Because guess what? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. Are you of the world or are you of Christ? See, Scripture has so many ways of saying this. In our Old Testament reading, it goes like this. There are two options put before you today. Life and death. Blessing and curse. Therefore, Moses and Joshua say, choose. And Jesus says, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Why don't you first sit down and count the cost? Sit down and figure out if you can finish what you start. If you try to build a tower, Aren't you going to count and see that you have enough money to build the tower, lest you become the laughing stock of Lidgerwood, thinking, that guy invested all his money and there's nothing, right? All he has is a monument of shame, a building that's never finished. If you're going to go to war and you're going to see an army that's bigger than yours, don't you want to sit down and see if your soldiers are mightier and stronger so that if they are, you know that you can overtake them and you win? And if not, send a delegation. Don't you want to do that so that none of you die, but you can keep your lives? Count the cost. Jesus' message, it is plain and it is simple. The Christian life is tough. Don't take it lightly. You don't get to walk out of this door today and wallow and walk in your own sins. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, covetousness, greed, wickedness, slander, envy, and pride. You don't get to stop coming to church for a summer because the school takes a break. You don't get to stop coming to church and do whatever you want to do and live at your lake lot for the year, for the summer. You don't get to skip church on Sunday morning because you think you have more important things to do and things that you love to do. The lake, sports, relaxation, work, farming, hunting, fishing, vacationing, chores, exercise, family, friends. No. Being a Christian means you have a completely different life in this world. You need to come to church every week. You need to receive Jesus in word and sacraments. You need to read, mark, and inwardly digest those scriptures, the Bible, every single day. You need to pray continually. You need to fight against the things that wage war on your soul. Flee from sexual immorality and covetousness, gossip and greed and envy and strife and jealousy, fits of anger and drunkenness. As God's chosen and beloved, holy, you need to put on. You need to put on kindness and humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another. If one has a complaint against one another, forgive one another. As the Lord has forgiven, you also must forgive. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Whatever you do in word or in deed, here in this pew, out there in the world, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, admonishing one another with hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. That's a basic Christian life. The life to which Jesus called you. The life to which Jesus called me. The life to which Jesus called the crowd. In our gospel reading, notice what I said. The life to which Jesus called you. Called. Past tense. Which means that it's too late for you to fully count the cost. You're not necessarily debating, should I be a Christian or should I not be a Christian? That's who you are. You are a Christian by virtue of Christ marking you with His cross on your forehead and on your heart in the waters of baptism. You are already a Christian. And so the question is more along these lines toward the latter half of the text. What kind of witness will you bear and give to the name of your Lord Jesus? Do you live in such a way that even the pagans see your good works and hear your words and they give glory to your Father in heaven? Or have you been made tasteless by the corrosive characteristics of the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh? Even if salt loses its taste, who shall season it again? Guys, that laundry list of things that I went over, the basic Christian life, there is no one standing here, there is no one sitting there who can say they haven't lost their taste. We have become tasteless. Our sinful thoughts and words. Indeed, who will season us again? Did you notice the text? There's nothing in this world, naturally, that can season you. If you have become tasteless, you're good neither for the earth nor for the manure pile. If you keep reading, Jesus will say, those who are good neither for the earth or the manure pile are good for nothing except being thrown into the outer darkness, into the fires of hell, where there's neither light or love or joy, just weeping and gnashing of teeth. So who will season again? It's not the things of this world, but there is one who does. There is one who takes the tasteless and makes them flavorful and lively yet again. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And before he came down into this world, he counted the cost. He knew the cost of coming into this world and being born of a woman, being born under the law. He knew the cost of what it would to be redeeming you and I who are tasteless and flavorless. He counted the cost. He knew it there even in the Garden of Gethsemane. The whips, the thorns, the nails, even the cross itself and death. And yet, knowing these things, counting the cross, Jesus considered these things. He considered them, but yet for the joy set before him, he endured it all. He counted this as nothing and compared this to the surpassing greatness of having you, of calling you by name. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, who counted the cost, took your tastelessness and mine upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for you and I, so that in him you would become righteous, you would become pure, you would become holy and undefiled and seasoned yet again. He endured the whips and the nails. He gave his life unto death to redeem you and I, not with earthly stuff, not gold or silver, but with his precious blood. That is the only thing that makes the tasteless tasteful again, a pleasing aroma in the nostrils of your God. That's what you are. You are a fragrant offering of Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them. And your God says, I forgive you. You are the blood blot, salt of the earth. And you yourself knows that this world needs salt. This dying and decaying world desperately needs salt. You are the baptized. You are the ones who are marked with the cross of Christ on your forehead and on your heart. You are called Christians. You are the good salt. And so you get out of these doors today to go back to your jobs and your families, where God is going to use you to season the tasteless, to pour the riches of the blessings of the knowledge of God, the blood of Christ, upon your friends, upon your neighbors, that they too may have the terms of peace. The peace of God negotiated through the blood of Jesus. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As you have been loved, so you step out of these doors to love and to proclaim the excellencies of Christ, who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light of salvation. That gift, those terms of mercy, they are free for you. God has given his life unto death, and so you are free. They are a free gift to you, but they are costly to him. Those terms cost Jesus everything. He lost his life, but he gained you. He gained you for eternity. And a servant is not above his master. There is a cost for you to be a Christian. There is. The gift of God is eternal life for you. But the reality of the daily life of a Christian as well is a life that looks different in this world. Free from your own sinful ways. Not clinging to the things of this life, mother, father, wife, children, brothers or sisters, so much so that they become an idol that you can't lose any of those things. But loving the Lord more than life itself. You know, it's kind of funny. The closer you are to Christ, the closer you are to the foot of this cross, the more you realize that every minute of every hour of every day, you live your life under this cross, saying, as you fight that battle, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the more your Lord takes you by the hand and says, arise, dear child of God, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now go out. Go out and continue the battle. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy light. Oh, it's not easy to follow Jesus. It is a way that leads to death. It is a daily dying to your own selfish wants and desires and loves of this world. And it is a slow and it is a painful and it is an agonizing thing. It is. The cross will be with us always until our Lord Jesus returns. But you know what? With the cross comes the suffering servant, your Lord Jesus. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. He who has begun this good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has called you by his own and he has marked you with that cross. He has put his spirit within you and you are not tasteless. You are the good salt of the earth. You are not unchristian. You are the baptized, believing saints of the living God who struggle and war against your flesh daily with the armor of God. And you are sent out of these doors to live your life as what you are, a Christian. Not who has all life put together and all sin put aside. No, but in a daily battle, living under the foot of the cross, holding fast to Jesus, because there is redemptive power in him. There is strength for the days ahead, bright hope for the morrow. There is plentiful redemption. There is power in the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away your sin now and forever. Amen.